Welcome to the Bible Truth Podcast with Ron and Tim Reynolds, pastors and Bible teachers. Pastor Ron and Pastor Tim combine for more than 70 years of teaching and preaching God's Word. Listen now as they share the eternal truths of the Bible.
Hello and welcome to Bible Truth for Living with Pastor Tim Reynolds. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Maybe you're listening on the radio on a Sunday morning or possibly on the Bible Truth podcast. We sure do appreciate you tuning in for this message from God's Word. We're in Luke chapter 19, and I'm going to read a familiar passage of Scripture about a man named Zacchaeus, verses 1 through 10, as the message is titled, To Seek and Save the Lost. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 1, And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's the key, that's the title of today's message, to seek and to save that which was lost. Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me, because I'm the tax man. Yes, I'm the tax man. Should 5% appear too small, be thankful I don't take it all, because I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. If you drive a car, I'll tax the street. If you try to sit, I'll tax your seat. If you get too cold, I'll tax the heat. If you take a walk, I'll tax your feet, because I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. Don't ask me what I want it for if you don't want to pay some more, because I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. Now my advice for those who die, declare the pennies on your eyes, because I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. And you're working for no one but me. If those lyrics sound familiar, that was a song written back in the 1960s by George Harrison of the Beatles. It was a popular song back then titled The Tax Man. It's tax season in America. Maybe you have noticed as soon as January is over with all of the advertisements for fitness machines and diet fads, you get into February and you start getting all of the advertisements for tax companies, tax preparation, whether it's H&R Block, Intuit, TurboTax, there's all kinds of different ones. And it's a reminder that our taxes are soon to be due. You've heard the saying before, only two things are certain in life, and that is death and taxes. Well, today we're going to look at a little tax man who comes looking for Jesus. But as we'll find out as we study this passage of Scripture, that it is actually Zacchaeus who is on Jesus' mind and part of his mission as he goes to seek and to save the lost. I want to begin with the career of Zacchaeus. And I want us to notice that this little man had a lot of power. The Bible tells us, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. Now, we need to know what a publican was. Back in those days, remember the Roman Empire was the ruling, really, power in the whole world, but Israel in particular was under Roman authority. And Rome's method of collecting taxes was to employ local Jewish people who knew other Jews who had money and where they kept the money. So what they would do is they would employ them in a certain region, and when they collected Rome's portion, the tax man or the publican could pocket all the rest, all right? So you can imagine this guy, maybe as a young man, he began to think, what kind of profession do I want to be in? Do I want to be a farmer, a salesman, a fisherman? What do I want to be? And he decides he wants to be a tax man. Why? Well, there's good money in it. Maybe you've heard people say before, why do people rob banks? Well, that's because that's where the money is. And that's what the tax man wanted to do. He wanted an occupation where he could, you know, maybe it had to do with him being little, but he wanted to be important and he wanted to be wealthy. This made him a very powerful man and yet a very unpopular man, because the people considered the publicans thieves and extortioners. As they would collect money for Rome, they would take advantage of their own countrymen and pocket money off of the rest. So he had power and he had position, because verse 2 again tells us he was chief among the publicans. What does that mean? Well, it means that Zacchaeus had people working under him that collected taxes, and he got to keep some of the money they collected. So not only did he collect taxes, but he had people under him collecting taxes and getting money from them. So, I mean, this really made this guy not only powerful, but he had a very strong position in the community. He was a little man trying to be a big man. Maybe you've heard of the little man syndrome, or some have called it the Napoleon complex. Making up for his small stature by being wealthy and by having a lot of power and position. We know he had possessions because verse 2 says he was rich. Now, how did he get rich? Well, certainly not simply by hard work. He got rich really by taking advantage of friends and neighbors, as he would out them to the Roman government and then skim off the rest of it. And so while he probably lived in the nicest home and wore the nicest clothes, his friends and neighbors, maybe even family, despised the fact that he was living such a wealthy lifestyle on their behalf. That was his career. He was a tax man or a publican. But then we see his curiosity, because verse 3 tells us, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Now, remember back in those days, there were no newspapers, no radio, no TV, no internet, no social media, and yet word about Jesus was spreading. And this guy, this Zacchaeus, was getting curious. Perhaps he had heard stories about the miracles Jesus was performing and the wonderful things that he was doing. But it also tells us something else about this man, because in spite of all the power that he had, in spite of his position, in spite of his possessions, something was apparently missing in his life. How do we know that? Well, think about it. Why would he be so curious to look for Jesus if he was satisfied, if he had everything that he wanted? Beloved, I want you to know, nothing in this world will ever bring complete, lasting satisfaction. Oh, you can get a new car and buy a new home, and you can have money in the bank, and you can buy some new clothes and new shoes and just live it up, but it won't last. There will still be something missing, and this guy had something missing, but you have to admire the fact that he's curious. He wants to find out more about Jesus, who he was. Hank Williams wrote a song way back in the day titled "Something Got a Hold of Me," and it's a song about a curious man looking for Jesus. Here's some of the lyrics. It goes like this. At first, when I heard of some people who claim that the old time religion was real, I said, I'll go down and take a look at the crowd, for just that weak minded I feel. So I walked up the steps and I peeked in the door, but the devil said, don't you go in. But I said, it won't hurt me. I'll just step inside and I'll sit as far back as I can. And then the chorus goes like this. But something got a hold of me, praise God. Yes, something got a hold of me, oh Lord. I went there to fight, but I'll tell you that night, God certainly got a hold of me. And that's a song about a man who went looking for trouble, but really what he did is he found the Lord. He was curious. And that's this man named Zacchaeus. He was curious. But then we see his constraint in verses 3 and 4, because anytime someone attempts to know more about Jesus, they want to know more about the Lord, you can just mark it down. The devil is going to do everything he can to keep them from getting to Jesus. Now, what were the obstacles for this man, Zacchaeus? Well, we see that one of the obstacles was other people. Verse 3 says he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press. Now, the press there is not talking about the media, okay? It's not talking about CNN and Fox and MSNBC. It's talking about the multitudes of people. There may have been 10,000, 20,000. We don't have a number. But you think of all these people, and they were preventing little Zacchaeus from getting to Jesus. You know, as a little man, maybe he was jumping up and down behind them, trying to look over and get a glimpse of Jesus, but other people were in the way. Listen, the devil will use other people to keep you from Jesus. He will use friends. If you allow a friendship to keep you from getting to Jesus, that's what the devil will do. Sometimes he'll use family. Sometimes he'll use other things in life to do whatever it takes to keep someone from getting to Jesus. But not only were other people keeping him from Jesus, but his own problems were keeping him from Jesus. Because verse 3 tells us also, he was little of stature. You might say, you know, in today's politically correct world, he was vertically challenged, all right? Bible scholars say he was probably under 5 feet tall. We don't know exactly, but he had his own problems. So he had the other people, the crowd, but then he himself had some challenges to overcome. And again, the devil will do that. He'll use your job. Well, I can't get off on Sundays to get to church. Or a favorite hobby, or maybe you're getting ready to go to church and a family member drops by and that keeps you from getting to Jesus. Listen, any obstacle will do for the devil. He'll use other people. He'll use our own problems to keep us from getting to Jesus. But I like his conduct in verse 4 because this guy, he is not going to be detoured. Verse 4 tells us, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now, Zacchaeus was not wealthy by accident. He was familiar with obstacles, and these obstacles were not going to stop him. Yes, he was short. There were too many people. He couldn't get to where he wanted, but he could run. And he decided, you know what, I'll just run out in front of him. He could climb. I'll just climb up into a tree and get a good look. And he had a plan because the Bible tells us Jesus was getting ready to head that way. You see, this is a guy who wasn't going to let a job stop him, wasn't going to let a relationship stop him. He wasn't going to let anything else. He was going to get to Jesus and was not leaving this opportunity to chance. Again, you have to have that mindset if you're going to get to Jesus. You have to decide, come friend or foe, I'm getting to Jesus and I'm not going to be stopped. And that's what we see here in the conduct of little Zacchaeus. And then number 5, we see his call. Now Jesus is going to enter into the picture in verse 5, and we see the place that Jesus comes to. The Bible says, and when Jesus came to the place, what place? Well, the place at the sycamore tree where Zacchaeus was. Now, Zacchaeus had this plan. He was going to run. He was going to climb the tree and he was going to be in that place. And it's important to be at the right place. You know, you're at the right place today listening to this program. Okay. So get to the right place. But we also know that Jesus already knew about this, all right? Jesus, being 100% God, was not shocked and just happened to look into a tree and there's little Zacchaeus. No, this, I believe, was foreordained before the foundation of the world. He was at the right place because Jesus had all of this also where he knew how it was going to work out. He comes to that place. Beloved, Jesus will meet you in any place. You don't have to be in a church. That's a good place to be. But he'll meet you out in the yard, in a field, in a kitchen, on a lawnmower, on a tractor, on a boat. It doesn't matter. Jesus, if you have a desire to know more about him, then he'll make sure that he's there, okay? He'll get to that place, and that's where he is here for Zacchaeus. And then we see the perception of Jesus. Listen to this. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Now that seems inconsequential, not very important, but it is actually very important. And here's why. Because all throughout his life, people had looked down on Zacchaeus. Number one, they looked down on him because he was a little guy. He was little of stature. So they physically looked down on him, but they also looked down on him because of his occupation. He was a publican. Many of the people despised and loathed the publicans. They were considered thieves and extortioners and very bad sinners. You've heard the story Jesus told about the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisees, they were those who thought they were better than everyone, the real, what you might call, religious crowd. And the Bible says two men came to pray. Jesus tells this himself. The one was the Pharisee. And he starts his prayer out thanking God that he's so wonderful himself. And he says, I thank you that I'm not like this publican, an extortioner and a thief. I thank you, God, that I'm not that bad. And then the Bible says the publican would not even lift up his head. He just bowed his head, went down to his knees, and he smote on his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus used that as an example of what our attitude should be when we come to the Lord. He said, you need to be like this publican that humbles himself and realizes I have nothing to bring. God, just give me mercy, instead of the Pharisee who thought that he was better than everyone else. And Jesus now, as everyone else had looked down on this guy, Jesus looks up to him. In other words, Jesus sees him and sees what is in him. And he knows that this is a man who is looking for him. And this is who Jesus goes to save. Jesus doesn't go to save the person who thinks they've already got it all figured out. The person that's just, has no problems and they're perfect. No. You know, he even said that in one place, Jesus said that someone who is not sick, they don't need a physician. It's the sick that I came to. And if we're honest with ourselves, we are all sin sick. And so Jesus sees him as he is. He looks at him and he sees him. And then Jesus offers a proposal. Listen again now to verse 5. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now, notice he calls him by name. He says, Zacchaeus. As far as we know, this is the first time these two have ever met. Very, very unlikely they had met before, because we find out that Zacchaeus is trying to find out who Jesus even is. How did he know his name? I'll tell you how, because Jesus is deity. He is God in human flesh. And so he calls him by name. It's been said that even great salespeople know this, that the sweetest sound in the ear of anyone is their own name. And so he says, Zacchaeus, he calls him by name and he says, I want you to hurry up, get down out of that tree, and I'm going to your house today. You see, Zacchaeus was not the only one with a plan that day. Oh, Zacchaeus had a plan. He was going to run in front of the crowd and he was going to climb a tree and he was going to look for Jesus and see who he was, not knowing that it was Jesus who already had a plan. Jesus had already planned to go to Zacchaeus's house. And now we're going to see the concession of Zacchaeus, because he comes to a place now where he has a choice. Jesus says, make haste, come down out of the tree. I'm going to your house. Now, Zacchaeus can do a number of things. Number one, he can stay in the tree. He could say, no, thank you, not today. I'm not interested in that. I don't think I want to get out of this tree. I'm pretty comfortable in this tree, and I think I just came to look. Or he could have said, you know what, Jesus, maybe if you come through here some other time. I'm a busy businessman, and this isn't really the right time for me. Or, you know, he could have done a number of things. And those are the responses oftentimes that people give when it comes to getting saved. No, I'm not interested. No, that's not for me. I don't want any part of that. Or not today. You know, maybe next year, maybe after some things happen. But right now, no, I'm just really not interested. But boy, we don't see that out of Zacchaeus. What we see is his commitment, because he obeys the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6 says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Jesus said, make haste. He made haste. He said, come down. He came down. And he received him joyfully. I don't think that simply means Zacchaeus shook his hand. I think he ran to Jesus and gave him a big hug and was just so glad to see him. Here you have a wealthy man who has all kinds of power and position, but it is as if he finally has found the missing piece in his life. And being a businessman, he was not going to miss out on this opportunity. We see his commitment. And then we see the critics, because anytime you decide to follow the Lord, the critics are always going to be around. Listen to verse 7. And when they saw it, and I believe they there is not only referring to the crowd of people, but probably the Pharisees in particular, they seem to follow Jesus around just to create problems. And when they saw it, they all murmured. That means they complained, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Now, not everyone's going to be happy when you follow Jesus, okay? So don't get the idea I'm going to get saved and all of my family's going to appreciate that and love me, and my friends, my coworkers, they're going to be so happy for me. I'm sorry, but it won't be the case. The critics will be there. But just remember this, that the criticism is something to not take personally, because really it's aimed at Jesus. In fact, when you read verse 7 and you notice, really, they're not complaining so much towards Zacchaeus, but it's directed to Jesus. Here's what they say, that he, Jesus, is gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. You know, we must always remember, I think in a day like today, especially when we are becoming more and more mocked and marginalized and criticized as Christians, to not take it too personal, because really their anger, their vitriol, their frustration is pointed toward Jesus Christ. Jesus told his disciples that it would be that way. Listen to John 15 and verse 18. Jesus said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Jesus reminds his disciples then and now to not take it too personal, because the reason the persecution comes and the critics come, it's not even personal towards you. It's really toward me. Today, you can say you love God or you worship God. That doesn't offend anyone. But when you say Jesus Christ and him alone, he's the one I'm following, he's the only way to heaven, that's when the criticism comes. But then we see a contrast in this Zacchaeus's life, because verse 8 says, Zacchaeus stood. Now the critics have all said this and this these things, and I'm sure he heard it. He stood and said, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. What contrast! In other words, you have a man who used to be self-centered, focused on himself, trying to take other people's money. Now a great change has taken place. He wants to give it back. Now, how did he know to do that? Jesus hasn't mentioned it. He didn't tell him he had to do that. I believe it's because he has a new nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That means that his mindset had a change. How different that is from the rich young ruler who thought he was a very moral man. And he told Jesus he'd kept all the commandments. And Jesus said, well, there's one thing you lack. Give all you have to the poor and come follow me. And the Bible says he was sorrowful because he was very rich. And this man, Jesus doesn't even have to mention it. That tells us a great change has taken place. And then the last thing I want us to see in this scripture is his conversion. First of all, notice that his conversion, his salvation is immediate. Jesus says, this day is salvation come. Aren't you glad for immediate salvation? You know, wouldn't it be something if God said, now you need to know more. You need to do some more things and perform more good works, and you need to learn some more, and then you'll eventually get saved. No, that's not what happens. You immediately get saved. When you repent and accept Christ, you're saved, and it's settled. It's immediate. Not only that, but his salvation was influential, because Jesus says, this day is salvation come to this house. I believe that means that daddy and husband Zacchaeus and employer Zacchaeus got saved, and all the realm of his influence was changed. When he went home, he was not the same husband when he left. He wasn't the same daddy when he left the house. He wasn't the same boss when he left the business. He came back a new man, and his influence was great. Not only that, but he influenced his own people of Israel, because Jesus says, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham, referring to him being a Jew and being an example for the Jewish people, that he has accepted Jesus, the Messiah. And then the last thing I want to show you is that it was all intentional, because verse 10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. When we began this passage of scripture, it looks like it is Zacchaeus who is on the lookout. It is he with a plan. He is seeking Jesus. When we get to the end, we find out that it was Jesus, after all, who had Zacchaeus on his mind. Maybe you've heard that song before. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. You know, one of the most popular kids' songs that we learn at a young age in Sunday school is Zacchaeus. And you remember that song. I'll sing it. I'm not a very good singer, but if you're listening, feel free to join me, all right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed into a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house today. That's where we get that childlike song, but what deep spiritual truths there are here. And aren't you glad that Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost? The Bible says he'll leave the 99 just to look for the one. I'm glad he found me. Has he found you? Are you looking? Are you interested? If you are, you can be saved today. It's no accident that you're listening. Pray a prayer that simply says, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that you love me. Today, I repent of my sin. And I believe you died for me. Jesus, save me today. And when you do that, you're born again and you're ready for heaven. And now you're no longer lost, but you've been found. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I pray the message was a help to you. And I look forward to being with you at our next appointed time. Until then, this is Pastor Tim Reynolds saying, may God bless you is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Bible Truth Podcast with your host pastors, Tim and Ron Reynolds. They can be contacted on the Mount Vernon Baptist Temple Facebook page, or you may send Pastor Tim an email to timrey1@hotmail.com. Or if you prefer, mail correspondence to Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Again, that's Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Thank you for listening.